One, two. There's a few people being ministered to still. We'll just let that continue. If you guys can just thank you to Mike and the team. Let's give them a clap. That was amazing. And you can just quietly go find your seats. If there is ministry continuing at the front, we'll just let that carry on. One, two. Praise God. Amen. That was a cool time together, wasn't it? Ah, praise God. Thank you, Lord. We've had some great times last year. As you know, we've had some great meetings. We've had great times of His presence. We had His presence now. And we're moving forward as a people. So we're in a good place. That's the headline. But I just feel, I shared a word earlier about in worship about that whole thing of spiritual oppression, is we're not in a vacuum. We're up against a kingdom that doesn't really go on holiday or sleep. And we need to be vigilant. The Bible says that the enemy walks around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he can devour. Where he sees revival, fire, he tries to bring some water to put it out. He doesn't like revival. Revival terrifies him, horrifies him. So if we can get revived, awakened in the Lord, it would do tremendous amounts of damage to his kingdom. In fact, all great moves of God historically started in a meeting like this. And then some of them spread around the world. So if he sees a meeting that's trying to find God and the Spirit starts to move, he plays the long game. He's, okay, let me just quickly shut this thing down because I don't want this thing to snowball into something much more bigger. So I really feel like, and some of the elders might share, we've just been through a lot of turmoil lately as leaders, not necessarily through sin or anything like that, but basically just like welcome to earth kind of thing, you know? Welcome to earth. That's, this earth is a realm that is heavily influenced by the enemy, and we're coming against the enemy in Jesus' name. And I'm going to this week, next week, and I think Kim Willer is going to be coming and sharing. I think he's sharing on the 17th. But this week, which I'm really looking forward to, But this week and next week, and then after Kim, I'll pick it up again. I'm just going to be sharing some points that I feel like we need to be committed to as a body, vigilant to keep us safe from the enemy. Things that are in the Bible that Jesus prays for us to, that not just the leaders, and I didn't really feel that, but I don't think it's just the leaders. But what I'm saying is we really, at every level, like from the leadership all the way down, we all like, okay, this is what we're doing. We're fighting for this. All of us, you know. It's not like just the leaders fighting or just the comm leader. Everyone is on this page because in it, you see the blessing for you. You see the gain for you. You see yourself being part of something that's incredible. So the two things that we discussed my preach as eldership team earlier, and we just felt like, okay, I've got about 8 points, okay? I'm probably only going to do two tonight. And then the worship and breaking bread ended up going, so it's actually probably going to be a good fit. But the two things I wanted to talk about is unity. With the Spirit, where there's unity, God bestows His blessing. So there's that one. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was love for one another. And Jesus actually prays for both. He prays just before He's going, you know. He's covering the bases with His disciples before He's leaving earth. Still in earth by spirit, but what I mean is his body. And he prays for his disciples because, listen, Jesus has invested everything in like 12 guys, you know, primarily. So there's a lot kind of, there's like a lot hanging on them, you know. I mean, now we're like a billion Christians, you know. Literally there's a billion people that say they follow Jesus today, okay. But at one stage there was like 100, you know. A lot of weight on them. And Jesus prayed for them. And listen, Jesus knows what the right thing is to pray. Jesus doesn't like, you know, pray that they, you know, have nice times like on the beach and they collect some nice shells. And like he doesn't muck around. He's praying for critical stuff. This stuff is critical. Like this is the stuff. I tell you what, if we can put these things in place, the gates of hell will not prevail. And he said, I pray that they will be unified. It's us. And I mean, look around us. Like we are so different. You know, different genders, different colors, different hobbies, different ages, different everything. Yet, he prays, and this is, and Andrew does a good preach on this. Jesus has the audacity, in a sense, to pray that we would be one as he and the Father are one. Like, how is that possible? I mean, Jesus and the Father are like that. There's this flow of unity between them. And Jesus is saying that we, all of us, across ages, across everything, would be one as he is one. And I think that can only happen by this power of God. We could try, and we won't pull it off. And then the other thing he prays for is, he prays, I pray, this is the second thing, that they would love one another, as I have loved you, as Jesus has loved the disciples, that they would love one another. Which is also a crazy thing. I mean, how do I love Chris? And he's a lovable guy. I mean, he's not difficult to love. But how do I love him the way Jesus loves? I mean, Jesus said, greater love has no man than to lay down his life. I've actually got to lay down my life for Chris. Which, I mean, we're not like technically related or, you know. Because he's a brother, I lay down my life for him. So those two things, unity and love. And I don't know if I've let the cat out of the bag, but I just keep on preaching about revival. Has anyone noticed? So it's kind of, you know, and you know what? If the other congregations want to preach about revival, that's fine. We'd like just on this, like, you know, whoever finds it first, then we'll just, you know, so it's not a competition, but, and revival, I think, has got a whole bunch of connotations, but it really is a brilliant quote. Just to summarize it, is from Duncan Campbell. So Duncan Campbell is a Scottish revivalist of the New Hebrides. He said this, a revival is a community saturated with God. Revival is a community saturated with God. So we're a community and we're saturated with God. God is dealing with us. We're responsive to God. I don't think, starting with unity, I don't think unity is, you know, when all the guys in the Tower of Babel got together and some people say, well, if a whole bunch of men get together, they can do anything. I don't think that's the strength of unity that Jesus is talking about, because the emphasis there is on man and what man can do. I think, and what I'd like to suggest tonight is that I think that if we're unified, the reason why we have his blessing is because we reflect him well. Because you know that in heaven, there is unity. There's no disunity in heaven. There's not one angel, or there was, he got booted, but right now, there's no angels going, oh, I don't know about their call that Jesus made. You know, it's like, you know, I can't believe he said that. You know, there's none of that. There's this symbiosis that's happening in heaven. And Jesus prayed and he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So his will is done in heaven, which is perfect unity. And he wants his will done here amongst us. So when we're not in unity, we're against his will. His will is we're unified because we reflect him well. We reflect the community of heaven. Do you know all these guys here? You're going to be in heaven with them for eternity. Do you know that, okay, I'm just putting it out there. Do you know that there's geographical measurements for the city of God. You go look at it. It's Revelation. I think it's 12,000 kilometers by 12,000 kilometers. So the size of the city is from here. Guys can correct me. It's from here to East London. Oh, no, no, no. Sorry. It's 1,200. It's not 12,000. It's 1,200. So the size of the city is 1,200. Sorry, not 12,000. So the size of the city is from here to East London and then square. That's the measurements in the Bible. It may be symbolic, okay? But you can fit a lot of people in that city. I mean, the size of Cape Town is like a 2Ks by 2Ks. You know what I mean? Yeah, it could be a cube. So, is that what you're saying? So, all of these guys, all of us are going to be citizens in that city, the city of God. We're going to be spending a lot of time, eternity, with each other. But that, Jesus is praying that that starts to be reflected now. And then where that is reflected, he will be. So, on the subject of revival, where we reflect God well, he presents himself with us. So, when we reflect God well on unity, he comes and he presences himself with us. He is here with us. And when he is here with us by his Spirit, we have the power of God. We have revival. We are saturated with God. When we are in disunity, he withdraws. We're still going to heaven, technically. We still have measures of breakthrough, but he's not quite presencing himself like when we have the unity that he desires. Does that make sense? So as we fight for unity, because I tell you what, it does require some fight, we will increase the blessing of God on us. So the name of my preaching, this is just, I'm calling it a roadmap because I think it's the roadmap for us going forward, because we've had a great year last year and I might not even get through unity anyway. So it's a roadmap for us. As we go forward, we can't just expect, just because we had a great year last year, that we can have a great year this year, because there is invisible forces against us and we need to listen to the voice of Jesus. And Jesus saying, do this, we navigating, like that word that Kim brought, about following the cloud. And I had a word, I don't know who brought it, and it was 2 weeks ago, and they said, last year we walked this path, and when you walk a path, it creates a rut. And I kind of, it's much easier to walk in the rut, because it worked last year, so let's just do it again. And I felt, the word was actually, no, go out onto the plain where there's no roads or anything, and follow the Lord. And that's a scary thing to do. But not only a scary thing to do, it's much more lazy just to go in the rut. It's actually, in a way, it requires more work to actually go, make yourself vulnerable, go out in that desert place. Do you know that Jesus followed the Holy Spirit into the desert? There was nothing there. There was nothing there. So he's following the Holy Spirit going, where are we going? In a sense, you know? But that was critical for him. There's 40 days in the desert. You know, he was tested. And I don't know if this is a year for testing, but Jesus kept the Holy Spirit and kept the power and the presence with him the whole time, and there's no reason why we can't too. But it's going to require unity. So on my whole revival thing, because I always love to preach revival, because there's just something on it. You know, Russell Fraser said, we had some breakthrough meetings about 10 years ago, and he was reading, who's that crazy prayer guy that was just like quite full on? Ravenhill. He was reading Ravenhill. Leonard Ravenhill. He was reading Leonard Ravenhill, was, I mean, in a sense, a revivalist. I know he's big on prayer. And then it just kind of started happening in the meetings, you know. And I think there's Christians that have gone before us that have pushed through historically, and we're not in a vacuum. We are 2,000 years of guys laying down their lives. Peter laid down his life. First Pope. Second Pope. Clement laid down his life. And so on and so on and so on. This excerpt is taken from, and I just want to read this because there's something key on this. William J. Seymour. So, do you know where our charismatic movement comes from? Because we basically consider I know we're apostolic under Andrew, and that, but what I mean is most of us come from a charismatic kind of Pentecostal stream. Do you know where that stream comes from? Basically, they say it comes from Azusa Street, 1906, Azusa Street. And Azusa Street was founded by an African-American pastor called William J. Seymour. And he only had one eye. So, and he was coming into a context which wasn't even favorable for African Americans. Yet, we're probably sitting out today from the effects of that stream. And he said this, I can say through the power of the Spirit that wherever God can get a people that will come together in one accord and one mind, the baptism of the Holy Ghost will fall upon them, like as at Cornelius' house. Acts 4:31 to 32 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Next line, all the believers were one in heart and mind. He has a few tips. We have all discovered a treasure, have we not? Jesus. That's our treasure. Our treasure isn't like prosperity or order in our lives, or even, it is in a sense, but it's not actually the main thing. Not even like eternal salvation. The main thing is Jesus. We've discovered this treasure called Jesus. And when people discover a treasure together, it's like we've got this secret like handshake kind of thing going. We share this thing. Chris and I will whisper about this, the secret thing that we have. In fact, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven, this is Matthew 13:44, is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought it and bought that field. And we share this treasure, and it's important that we don't lose the wonder of it. Let's not lose the wonder of what's actually happening here, because something incredible is happening here. We have a treasure. We should be, you know, when we evangelize, we should be sharing about it like with whispered tones, like we do share about how we would share about a treasure. That, oh, this thing, Jesus, you know, it's incredible. You're going to this meeting tonight. We're going to be meeting with Jesus. And we like, there's this feeling of like, wow, we've discovered this incredible thing. And when we lose that, we start to lose something. When it's just like, meeting tonight, you know, we're starting to lose something. And Jesus is all like, hey, you're starting to lose something. We need to be treasuring this thing. And not only that, we need to be treasuring each other. And this is the treasure. John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's ESV. And then switching over to NIV, because it says it a bit better. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Do you know how hard it is to be born of God? This is how hard it is. Only God can do it. You can't do it. You can't go to the shop and say, I'd like to just pay 1,000 rand to get born again. There's no price on it. Well, there is. It's the blood of Jesus. But every single one of you sitting here, well, if not all, have been born of God. That's an incredible thing. These are not little random people sitting next to us. These are people that have been born of God. And when we get a revelation that people around us have been born of God, we start to have a little bit more awe for each other. We're like, this is something that Jesus did specially for each one of us. And that should unite us. This is not average people. I mean, there's 8 billion of us, you know, like in the world. But this is not a random sampling. This is people sitting in this meeting that have been born of the Spirit of God. So I wrote here, let's protect each other's faith. Let's not make it harder for each other to remain faithful to God and serve Him well. Let us not become obstacles to each other. Remember, the context is unity. But be a blessing to one another. I'm going to share a hectic scripture. People say I mustn't introduce it like a hectic scripture, but anyway. Matthew 18:6-7. And I saw something in this, and I felt a little bit of fear of God, but healthy fear of God when I read this. If anyone causes one of these little ones, and he was referring to the children, this is Jesus, but I think it's more than that. Those who believe in me, there's a clarification there. I'm feeling it's. I don't feel it's just children. I feel it's all of us. If anyone causes one, and this is a weighty scripture. Seriously, Andrew says I'm too nice, but seriously, like this is the word of God. It would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 8, 9 to 13. He says, "Be careful, however, that your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you, who are well informed, eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged to eat food sacrificed to idols? So, this weak brother, for whom Christ died, is destroyed by your knowledge. By sinning against your brothers in this way and wounding their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to stumble." Imagine you had a child that someone else, because we all belong to Jesus right now as his children, but imagine we caused someone to stumble that they were lost out of the kingdom. How do you think God feels about that? What if someone's come and stole your child away? What would you feel? It's quite full on, eh? So we need to look at each other and go, if I'm causing this person to stumble, I'm like, Jesus is looking at me now going, please don't do that. This is my precious child. They might be weak in their faith. They might be a baby Christian, but you've got to be gentle. Do not cause them to stumble. I think sometimes we're just a little bit loose with each other. We're quite harsh with one another, with our husbands, with our wives, with our children, with our brothers and sisters. And we need to literally go, let me not be a stumbling block to others, but just an encouragement. Let me rather be wronged. And that's not to say that we need to go talk. We need to go talk to one another if we've got stuff. But let's really make sure that we're not so bold when we do it. We always come forward, in a sense, trembling, because we want everyone here in this room to come through. Does that make sense? So I'm hoping that just motivates us on the issue of unity. YWAM has got this leadership training school that I was part of. Donna came there for 2 weeks. She boasts about it as her first date. So I was in Barbados, which is in the Caribbean, and we're doing a 3-month leadership training school with Lauren Cunningham. And Donna and I were connecting, and then she got permission to come over, and we actually dated in Barbados, first date. So it was quite glamorous, you know. Anyway, on that school, the leaders decided this, because it's 3 months is a long time, and people enjoy like a glass of wine and beer occasionally. The leaders decided at the beginning, we've got, I think there was like 150 people there from all across the world. And they said this, what should we do on the alcohol issue? Because some brothers are okay with a glass of wine, and other brothers, they just think you're getting drunk. And they decided, we're not going to drink any alcohol for 3 months. So if you like your little glass of wine, you're just going to have to sacrifice it. I will not eat meat if it's causing my brother to stumble. And we did not go near any alcohol for 3 months. And I would probably guess maybe 70% of the guys were okay with it. But for the sake of the 30, the 70 will take a hit. Because we want everyone to come through. Does that make sense? I also felt the Lord just highlight this area. And it's a painful area because it's very hard to control. And the Bible says so in James 3, and that's our tongue. Is that Ephesians 4, 29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So when we're talking to one another, we've got to think, is this an encouragement to my brother? We may have to say hard things, tough things, but can we do it in such a way that we're gentle and loving enough that we can kind of align ourselves with the scripture, that it's building them up, that it's giving grace to them, that we somehow allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us. So even if it's a tough thing, even I'm coming to my brother and saying, you know, this thing that you did, it's just, it really bothers me. But I come and I do it in such a way that it doesn't cause unnecessary conflict. Does that make sense? So we have a pledge to one another here in this room that we're going to be kind to one another. We're going to be gentle to one another. And James 3:5 says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. I would like to suggest that lots of disunity is created through talking. Just talking. Like, it seems so innocent, yet the Bible says here that it can set a great forest, a great, beautiful, stunning teak tree forest destroyed by a match. A single match took out this massive plantation. That's what the Bible says. And that even as we speak, we make sure, man, I'm bummed with this person. I'm not going to share my bumness that I have. Sorry about the word, but I have an issue with this person. I'm not going to spread, in a sense, the poison. Does that make sense? I'm going to, okay, I've got this issue with this person. Okay, I know it's wrong. I'm not going to just sweep it under the carpet because that's probably even worse. I'm going to deal with this issue. Go before God. Is it my heart? Is it their heart? Maybe go to a leader. I'm feeling this. But I don't go like, oh, you know, this person sucks. This person. And then try to gather a crowd. And all I'm doing is I'm spreading my poison. And I'm going against Scripture. Does that make sense? So let's be gentle with one another and let's watch how we talk to one another. I don't think it's a big issue. I want to introduce that. What I mean is I don't think historically, I don't think we had this going on last year, but I can see if the enemy is against us, he'll use this. He'll use this because the Scripture says that it can open up a big fire. So that makes sense? Some of the elders might want to input on that one. All right, let me go love. I think I've got enough time for love. I'll just do a sampling. Maybe I'll land with a story. So, when you look around, you're probably going to find people that are fairly unlovable. I'm probably unlovable to some people here. That's okay. That's fine. My values in Jesus. But what I'm trying to say is, like, we're not all perfect. We don't all perfect to everyone. We, you know. And sometimes I'm friends with someone on Tuesday, and then something happens, and on Thursday I'm like, we're not so good. Do you know what I mean? Stuff happens. But something happened in my life when I was 25, 26, that changed my perspective on how I relate to people. And I had this friend, this Australian friend at YWAM in Australia, and he was actually called Moose, like the animal. And this might sound harsh. Huh? Like Top Gun Moose. Oh, that was Goose. No, this is Moose. No, there's nothing glamorous about this name. And this might sound harsh. Okay, and this is openness time. Okay, I'm just being open now. I actually hated Moose. I really did. Everything he did grated me. He was like everything that I thought, and he was actually my leader at one stage. Everything that I thought a good leader should be, he wasn't. And he really annoyed me because I'm quite tidy, and he was super messy, okay? So we were bunking at one stage in our room, and I had my bed on the one side, and here you could literally see a dividing line through the middle of the floor. You could almost see junk, and then, like, order. And I was just like, you just lie on my bed and just look at all the junk and just go like, oh, you know? And I was like, and I'm supposed to be in unity, like Jesus is trying to bless our room, but I'm sorry, like, I couldn't stand Moose, and I thought to myself, like, I will never love Moose. I will never like, not even like him. I have to love him, but I'll never like him. And we served in YWAM. We served the YWAM a few years, and as I got to know Moose, his actual name is Richard. As I got to know Moose, and as he started to journey together with the Lord, I started to see that he really loved Jesus. And I started to see him make adjustments in his life for Jesus. Like I could see, man, Moose, you just changed for Jesus there. But I just started to see these things. And I started to actually, like, love him. Like I used to look at him. Eventually I was like, I don't know what happened. Something happened between us. And I can tell you, and Donna can tell you, my wife can tell you today, that relationship transformed, that I can probably say today, and I've got a few guys in this room as well that are similar to that, but I would be willing to die with Moose at his side. I really would. I have so much respect for Moose today. Like, so much respect. Like, I actually am in awe because I've seen what God has done in his life. And we're on the same journey. Like, I can see the stuff he's doing in his life, he's doing in my life. And sometimes we'll be like, we find like we're living this code, this hidden secret code, but we're both committed to it. And what drew me to Moose the most is how much he was committed to sanctification and allowing God to deal with his heart. And it blew me away because you know what? He was probably better on that. He's more ruthless with himself than I was. I was a bit more preservation. He was like, I just want Jesus to change me and to make me into be a better person. And that's what we need to have for each other. We need to have that heart for each other that we're looking at each other going, they love Jesus and Jesus has changed them into a better person and God bless them. And I hope it goes well. And I don't want to be a stumbling block to that. And I want to just see them grow. And we've even, those of you that are journey child, you've seen people grow. They're not the same people that walked in. They're different now. They're more beautiful people. They've got this grace about them that you didn't really see so much before. And to see that in each other's lives. So I'm just gonna finish it. Maybe the band can come up. And I just thought that as I put up these conditions and as I put out unity tonight, and maybe you can all just stand up just where you are if you don't mind. Just as I put out unity tonight and as I put love out, and you, even as I shared the word of God tonight, I just want you to put your hand up where you are, and we'll pray for you. If as I shared the word of God to you tonight, you felt a shift in your attitude, I just want you to put up your hand right where you are, and we'll pray for you. That you knew that this unity thing was not part of your life as much as you feel it should be. Or you know that this love for those around you needs to be adjusted, and you want to just say, Lord, I just want to repent and change tonight. Just put up your hand where you are. Lord, I just pray for those that are just putting up their hands right now, Father. I just pray for them, Lord, in their lives right now, as they wanting to adjust in this area of unity and this area of love, that your grace would be upon them tonight. I want to pray for a shift in their lives in Jesus' name. A shift in their lives in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, that they would be obedient to you tonight, adjust in their lives, Lord, and they'd walk out tomorrow morning different. Just a little bit less driven by nasty things and a little bit more free into your purposes, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I'll just take this opportunity as well, just as everyone has their eyes closed and their head bowed. If you've been hearing about this Jesus person and called the Son of God, declared by the Holy Scriptures to be the Son of God, that according to the Holy Scriptures, that he was sent just over 2,000 years ago by God, his only Son, to take our place on the cross, to die instead of us, that we have this thing of sin in our lives and this dirtiness and this thing blocking us from God, a holy God and from heaven. But he came out of his love for mankind, for humankind, and that his Son paid the price on the cross for us, that our sin was on the cross, that he took the punishment that we should have got, that he took death so that we could have life. And if you've kind of been in your life and you haven't been walking like that with Jesus, you kind of been not honoring that incredible thing that he's done for you, or you have never given your life to Jesus before and you want to make that step tonight and you want to say, I feel God is working with me tonight, and I want to respond to God. I want to respond to his love expressed in Jesus. If you broke bread earlier, but you didn't really have meaning for you, I ask you tonight to make a decision for him so that it can have incredible deep meaning for you. That you can claim Jesus for your own, and he wouldn't be someone else's Jesus anymore, but your own Jesus, your own Savior, your own lover of your soul. If God is knocking on the door of your heart tonight, you know, and everyone's got their eyes closed, and you know, I ask you to do a brave thing and respond to him tonight and say, Lord, I want to either accept you afresh, or Lord, I want to accept you for the first time. Is there anyone tonight who would like to respond to the Lord? Anyone here? All right. We'll go to a song. I'll just hand over to Mark and we'll worship. Unless some of the other elders might have something. Dion.
Just felt Maya brought a prophetic word earlier this evening about two rivers. I don't want to forget about that in light of what Joey shared tonight, what we feel needs to happen. There's a two rivers means that there's a choice, that we there's a choice that every single one of us take and as a congregation take. The Bible says, and I've shared the scripture a while, that in the Psalms it talks about there's a river that makes glad the city of joy. There's a river of revival that carries the very presence of God that is going to bring revival in a place where there's eternal treasure that's found. And Joey, this evening, has shared two truths and two values that are so deeply ingrained within us, or need to be, that form the banks of a river that will be a conduit for the blessing of God to flow through us, that will make glad the city of joy, that will bring the revival that we're looking for. But there is a river that seemingly may seem like it's got life, but in the end, it ends up in a desert and ends up in a marsh and ends up in death and swamps. And the thing that stood out for me that as Joey was sharing is our words. Sometimes we share words that we feel this is justifying myself, or I'm saying this for the kingdom, or I'm actually doing this to protect someone, whatever the case is. There's something in my heart that I think that we are so aware of as a leadership team, of guarding the unity of the brethren, of who we are, that every single word matters. And if every single word we speak or share with others isn't to build up, isn't to encourage, or to push us forward as a congregation, we should rather process that with the Lord and not with each other. I do feel that as the enemy comes in, as his standard is being raised within amongst us, the enemy wants to come in and wants to rob, destroy, and steal. And there may be a river that you may want to climb in that, this has got life. But I want to say we need wisdom and discernment to say that this river that I'm climbing into is not going to lead to the joy and making glad the city of joy that God wants us to. And I felt this word was just so appropriate, and then thought, wow, you're sharing this, and it's so what Maya shared is a prophetic word. I don't want us to forget that. And just ask yourself this question: when things come your way, or words or people come, or relational tensions come, or whatever it is, ask yourself, which river am I going to jump into right now? Which river am I going to jump into right now? So I feel this as an encouragement, but also as a caution. Get into the river that we're intentionally building unity by the way we love one another. These are the banks. These are the foundations that are going to be the conduits that are going to make glad the city of joy. They're going to bring the revival that we want. And just before we close with a song, I'd like to pray for us, just for unity, for us as a church, for us as a congregation, for protection. So maybe it would be good, even this place, just grab someone's shoulder or hand or just hold it. I just feel like the sense of unity, we've already done a little bit in terms of breaking bread tonight, in terms of building that unity. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are the perfection of unity. There's nothing between the three of you, the three persons of the Trinity, that doesn't usher in the purity of unity. And Father, right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the blood of Jesus has already accomplished the work, and because the Father decrees it, I pray, God, that our unity would in increasing measure represent the Trinity well. That, God, we would be a people that fight for unity, that build a house together that would usher and welcome your presence. Father, our deep desire is for revival to continue within us. You started a work, but there's so much more that you want to do through us, God. I pray, God, that you would protect us as a people. Help us and give us discernment with every word that we speak, every single thing we post on social media, everything that we, from our hearts, would come a sense of God, I want to climb in the river that carries your life, that carries your blessing, that honors you, God, that places a high value on the greatest treasure in the universe, Jesus himself. And I know, Jesus, that's what you're praying for us today, unity, unity, unity. May we represent you well and so honor your name. So protect us. Thank you for showing this to us, God. Thank you every time you just point out, just keep focused. Keep focused. Be alert. Keep alert all the time. And so, Father, thank you. We worship you. This is about you. This is about representing you. We love you, Jesus. Help us to love one another as you loved us in increasing measure. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's just close in a song of worship.